has charged us to do and what the Lord our God has charged us to do. So I have some work for you today, a little bit of work for you today. First, I'm going to ask you, what do you think the definition of a disciple is? And you don't get to hide in the back. What's a disciple? We should all know this. We're called to be disciples of Christ. Somebody has to be brave. My husband, Larry Brown. It's not fair, I know. What's a disciple? Okay. Yes. Good job. So in the dictionary, the definition of a disciple is a learner, a pupil, and then they say a disciple, of course, a person who learns, a person who is following, a person who is trying to become like somebody who is teaching them. So we would all be called disciples of Christ because we are trying to learn. We're trying to be a pupil. We're trying to open our hearts to be led to where God wants us to be. So then what's the definition of an apostle? We talk about the 12 disciples. What's the definition of an apostle? In the interest of time, I'm going to tell you. And I'm not going to pick on my husband. And I'm going to hear about it when I go on the way home, let me tell you. I didn't even give him a chance to, like, practice on the way up. And the definition of an apostle is a delegate, a messenger, one who is sent forth with orders. So we start with Jesus calling the 12 disciples, and they're learning and they're growing in their faith and they're stumbling their way along and everything. And then when Jesus is crucified, that's kind of at the time that where they make that transition into being apostles because they've been told to go into the world. So you can be a student, which is a disciple, and learning about God. But if you're not taking it out and sharing it with somebody else, then you're probably not being an apostle. And it's for us just to be a student, let alone to be called into being an apostle. I really do like the thought for the day, for today. Food for Thought by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Food for Thought. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. I've asked people, so, you know, are you a Christian? Well, I believe in God. Okay, well, you believe in God. So what? I believe he's there. You know, I don't say that, really, I promise. Is this on tape? Sorry. What I do say is when someone says, I believe in Christ, I believe in God, I'll say, and what are you going to do with that? Because just believing in Christ isn't necessarily being a disciple. Like you said, person that's disciplined and learning. So, how many of you know how many laws there are in the Hebrew, in the Torah? 613. We only have 10. Now, I'm not going to do my commandment sermon where I ask people to come up with the 10 commandments because most people can only come up with 8. I'm going to make it harder for you. And I'm going to ask you to tell me or to write down who the 12 disciples are. Okay? Oh, there's only 12. This really shouldn't be a big problem here. This should be... Oh, one more. Okay? Do you all have pens and pencils? This can be a group project. Okay, no, it's not open book. Don't you dare. No open book here. Does everybody have a pencil? You have some place to, you've got pencils in the pews. You know what I do when there are younger, how old are you? You're 19. You just have that really young face. What I did last time when I did this at Mountain Vista was that I gave the answers in a little word search to all the kids and told them not to tell their parents while they were sitting there doing the word search. So that was kind of fun to have them do that. So, excuse me. You don't get off. You're waiting for your phone to load up? Oh, I don't think so. Really? This wouldn't have happened 20 years ago. It's off. It better be off. No cheating on your phone. Wow. I'm going to give you about one more minute for you guys to come up with who the disciples are. Next Bible verse, which will give you a clue on one of them, and it'll be one of the ones you obviously probably know. Jesus calls his disciples, his first disciples. This is Luke 5, 1 through 9. One day Jesus was standing on the lake of Gennesaret, and the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, one of them belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let the nets and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. So this is a very familiar story for most of us, that when we think of being called as disciples, we're thinking about that Simon Peter was called to leave everything and walk away. And so, you know, when I think about, am I a disciple? It's like, no, I have a job. I have 3 years left with the state of Utah, and I'm not walking away from my job and going to go out and be on the street corners and preaching the word of God. So we kind of get that very black and white of being called into discipleship. This story here is like, oh, please don't send me to Africa. Don't send me off into, you know, like Pastor Dave says, be careful what you ask for, you know, because God will sometimes surprise you and say, okay, you know, I want to follow you, but please be gentle with me. Don't send me someplace that, or ask me to do something that I think I am so not equipped for. Because I think when we talk about, are you a disciple? Do I believe in God? Yes. Am I a disciple? I try to be, but I feel very unqualified. The sign up there before said unqualified. We feel very unqualified. So let's see how you all did on your list of disciples. All right. So we know Peter. Peter's a pretty, you know, and he was Simon, and they renamed him Peter. Who else we got? Matthew. Let's see. Yes, Matthew is on the list there. So Peter, Matthew. Philip. Yes, we have Philip. And Luke is not a disciple. We always try to do that. And I do it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We can always, you know, we can say that. Luke was not a disciple. James. James, who else? No. Judas. Judas Iscariot. Who said Thomas? Okay. Andrew. Bartholomew. Are you cheating?
No, I did not cheat.
Okay. So we have Peter, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Thomas, and Judas. We're missing a few. John. Simon. Okay. And we're missing two more. And one's kind of hard because there's actually two James. There's actually two James. James the lesser and the greater, I think. And so two James. So you really don't have to know 11. Because if you say James once, you've actually got him twice. And there's one more that it's kind of, it reminds me that we all can't be like, we're more like best supporting actors as opposed to the lead actor, that we go through life and we're probably going to be the supporting actors and not be the Billy Grahams of the world. Thaddeus, poor guy, never gets noticed. Thaddeus. So we have Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Simon, Matthew, another James, a Thaddeus, a Thomas, and a Judas Iscariot. You don't need to write Iscariot, but I'd like you to make sure you have all of those down because I'm going to give you some notes about these disciples, these perfect men that had no character flaws or anything like that. Unlike us that have a lot of character flaws, so we're really not qualified to be disciples, to be really the disciples in the vein of Jesus' day. So make sure you have Peter, Andrew, both James, a John, a Philip, a Bartholomew. I'd go by Bart if I was him. Bartholomew, that's a lot of Simon, Matthew, the other James, Thaddeus, Thomas, and Judas. So let's look at some of these guys. Peter. Who knows what Peter stands for? Why did Jesus rename him Peter? The rock. So Peter stands for, it's Greek for the word, the Greek word is Petros, meaning rock. He is usually the first person that people mention is Peter. Although I would probably start with Matthew because I just think of the Gospels. I'd say Matthew and I'd go there. But Peter was one of the most prominent of the 12 disciples. He was a natural spokesperson and also the leader of the early Christian church. His original Hebrew name was Simon and he was the brother of Andrew. So Andrew, two brothers. Andrew and Peter were brothers. His original Hebrew name was Simon, and he was a fisherman by occupation. He was a married man. He was very brash and impulsive. Can anybody relate to being brash and impulsive? Mm-hmm. Speaking before I think. After the resurrection of Christ, Peter became a bold evangelist and missionary, and one of the greatest, which would be an apostle, and one of the greatest leaders of the early church. What else do we know about Peter that made him different? How did he die? Did he die an old man? No, he didn't. Because he was out there preaching and made a big target on himself. He was crucified upside down. Do you know why he was crucified upside down? Because he did not feel worthy to be crucified like Christ. I didn't actually know that for a long time because I knew that he was crucified upside down, but I didn't know why. But he felt that he was not worthy, so he was crucified upside down. So Peter, we know that he denied Christ three times. I don't know how often you in your life have denied Christ. I know that at times when my mother was very, very sick, I wanted to be angry and say that Christ wasn't around during that time because no God would let my mom suffer like that. So I think we've had our times when we've wanted to deny that Christ is walking beside us. So we have some, Peter, maybe somebody you might be able to relate to, brash and impulsive, as he said. John, that means John, the name John means God is gracious. He was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. He was following John the Baptist before he met, bless you, and was introduced to Jesus. in 1 John in chapter 1, verses 35 to 39. He was the brother of James. He was one of the three disciples that was closest to Jesus, the others being Peter and James. He was known for outbursts of selfishness and anger. He asked for a special place in Jesus' kingdom. I'm following you. I'd like to have a special place. Thank you. But he grew to be very loving. John is known for writing 5 books of the Bible. He was the last of the 12 disciples to die, and he's the only disciple who did not die in martyrdom. This was one of those people. Maybe when they talk about, I think Jesus talked about him being my beloved, that John was, you know, very, very close to Jesus. And he is believed to have died from old age. And he is known as being the closest to Jesus. James was the older brother of John. He was a fisherman also, along with his father. He was the first of the disciples to be martyred. James. He was nicknamed one of the sons of thunder. Anybody have 2 boys? Any boys in your life? I have friends that have boys, and I think you could call them the sons of sometimes these little boys. I only have 1 grandson, and he is a thundering person. This nickname is thought to be from the fact that he and his brother John were such stormy personalities. They were easily angered and quick to judge enemies of the Lord. And as we said, he was the first to be martyred. This is one of the James. Andrew was the brother of Peter. He was a fisherman also. And he brought Peter, his brother, to Jesus. Eager to bring others to Jesus, he was the first apostle called by Jesus. It actually wasn't Peter, it was Andrew that was the first apostles brought. But we always hear about Simon Peter. Andrew was kind of not in the forefront. And he was first a disciple of John the Baptist, Andrew was. And he said he would be a fisher of men. Philip, he was a close friend of Andrew and Peter. He was the one who persuaded and brought Nathanael to Jesus, although Nathanael was not one of the 12 disciples. He had a very questioning attitude, not unlike myself, where I'm, why, what, huh? Philip was slow to recognize Jesus. I think all of us are kind of slow to be turned. However, once he found Jesus, he was quick to share his greatness with his friend Nathanael. Both Philip and Bartholomew are frequently named together as they frequently appear together and speak together in the Bible. So Philip and Bartholomew were kind of close. Bartholomew was also known as Nathanael. He had 2 names. Friend of Philip, frequently mentioned together, as I said, and there's no other reference to him in the New Testament. Dang it. He got no special credit. There's nothing much known about him. He's known for being an honest man who was convinced by Jesus' greatness upon his meeting with him. As soon as he met with him, he was like, I see this, I get it, and I'm going to follow you. He called Jesus, the only mention about him is Jesus called him a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. This is a person that really was in the shadows of all the things that the disciples were doing. He doesn't have a whole chapter written about some things that he's done and things like Peter had. And yet, what a great sentiment that Jesus said he was a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false. I can't imagine a bigger compliment for someone to say there is nothing false about me, that I would be very true. But he doesn't have much written about him. He's lost a time in history, as we will be eventually. And so all we can do is hope to be apostles and to impact and to share the story of Christ, to share the love of Christ with the ones that we are closest to, because we're probably not going to be listed in some book like the Bible. We're probably not going to get that top billing, except in the people that are small, close body of Christ. Thomas, what do we know about Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Thank goodness we've learned so much because we have this Bible and we heard the rest of the story that we don't ever doubt. I love that. I love that. When you say, I cannot believe how Thomas was doubting him. How could he doubt him? You know, Thomas didn't have the rest of the story. If this was a Bible, we would have the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't put in the canon for like 300 years. And so Thomas didn't have the rest of the story. We have the luxury of having the rest of the story. We know Jesus was crucified. We know he was risen from the dead. And we know that he is still walking beside us. Thomas didn't have any of that. And he doubted. And yet we go, that bad Thomas. He doubted Christ. And when he appeared to the apostles after his resurrection, when Jesus appeared to the apostles, Thomas was not present. So what happened when the other disciples told Thomas, hey, you're not going to believe this, but Jesus came back? What did Thomas say? Prove it. Prove it. It's kind of like me every day of my life where I'm sitting there at my desk going, and I'm buried in paperwork and I have my little phone that pops off and says, don't forget to pray at 9. And I go, okay, I'm going to pray at 9 and I'm going to try to begin my day with some prayer that's going to help me be more focused on Christ as I go through my day. And every day I say, it'd really be great if this coffee cup would suddenly burst into flames and give me just a little burning bush on my desk. That'd be great. Just something small would be great. You know, just a little, I don't need a big bush. I don't want to be in the desert. I just want a little. So Thomas said, no, I don't believe you. I don't know what you're talking about, but there's no way that Jesus appeared to you. He would not believe until Jesus showed himself a week later. What did he say? What did Jesus say to him? Look at my hands. I have these wounds. I have this wound in my side. So his occupation is unknown. I think so much of us, I think that's, it was interesting, you know, hearing that we don't know anything about him. We are so defined by what we do. Hi, what's your name? So what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? You know, I'm an engineer. I'm whatever. We are defined by our occupation. We're reminded here that your occupation doesn't matter. What do you do? Your body of work at the end. You walk away, people always say, the joke or the saying is, nobody's ever going to say when they die, gee, I wish I'd spent more time at work, you know. Not that it can't bring you great joy, but what do you do? He's an engineer, he's an architect, he's, you know, she's a nurse, whatever that is. But his occupation is unknown. He is also characterized by being somewhat gloomy and easily discouraged. Yeah, that sounds like that. It's amazing how much I can go along in my world and think I'm just humming right along in this, the slightest bump, and it's like, God, where are you? And I'm not ever saying, thank you, God, for this glorious day. Thank you for those God winks. I got the book, When God Winks. It's so great. Those little winks that you go, those little coincidences. I don't ever say that. I'm so quick to be discouraged. While he was much of a pessimist, Thomas was a full believer in Christ and followed him loyally through his life. I think that's a lot of us. I think we may question our faith because we're not optimistic and hopeful and secure all the time. But we continue to press on and say, I'm following you, God. I'm not quite sure I know where I'm going, but I'm going to try to be faithful. And I don't know that we forgive ourselves enough for questioning and not doing it in glorious abandon, excitement all the time. Thomas is known for being unable to see the forest for the trees. And Jesus often had to help him see the whole forest. You know, you're right in the middle of it. And Jesus was trying to say, I've got this. I got this plan. You're right in the middle of this. You can't see it, but trust me, I've got this. Matthew is also known as Levi. Who was Matthew? What did he do for a living? His occupation was famous. Tax collector. Oh, and some things never change. Years ago, tax collectors were hated, and nobody wants to say, I work for the IRS. Nobody wants to do that. Who's in the middle of their taxes now? I'm just like putting it off. Tax collector. He was a tax collector by occupation. He is ascribed to be the author of the gospel according to Matthew. Of course, Matthew. Matthew wrote Matthew. Due to his work as a tax collector, Matthew was seen as the filth among people and was a despised outcast. In addition, during this time, many tax collectors were dishonest people, giving people even more reason to hate them. Let's look at the scripture about Matthew. This is in Luke 5, 27 through 32, very short. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up and left everything and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to the disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I think that it's easy for us to say, I'd like to be with people that are like me. I'd like to be disciples to people like you who are easy. You're already here at church. This is great. How hard is that? You're sitting there in this row back here and say, it'd be great to share my faith story and my God wink with you because you're already in church. The battle's half won. You're already here. But in this verse, we are reminded that Jesus was looked down upon for going and being with those kind of people. We are those kind of people, and all the people out that are not here and that are out living their lives that don't know Christ are those kind of people. We're all kind of tax collectors. So let's see, who do we have left? James, the other James, not one of the sons of thunder. He was a son of Alphaeus. We all know Alphaeus. No, we don't. You don't know anything about this James. Kind of wish we did. We had something on this guy. Nothing much else is known about him. Okay, how wonderful to know that Christ knows each one of us personally, even if the rest of the world doesn't really, won't know my name 1,000 years from now. Thaddeus, he was also known as Judas, but that would like confuse us, so he's not Judas the betrayer. He questioned why Jesus would reveal himself to his followers, but not to the whole world, because Jesus wasn't necessarily always going out. He would reveal himself like he came to the upper room and showed the 12 disciples who were scared to death. They didn't have the rest of the story. They were scared to death. Jesus was gone. He'd been crucified. And he showed himself to them and said, I'm alive and you are to go into the world and I have to go on to my Father. And his disciples were like, well, why don't you go out and show everybody else? It'd be so much easier on us. So much easier on us if you would go out and go talk to everybody and go, look, I'm alive. Could you do some work for us? And he just revealed himself to those 12 disciples at that time. There was also before he was, there's a whole nother story about his, you know, resurrection and everything. But Simon the Zealot, this is a different Simon. He's another disciple of Jesus. He was a member of a political party called the Zealots. Thank goodness none of us are Zealots. The interesting thing about Simon is that he's never mentioned throughout the Bible except to list his name as one of the 12 disciples. That's it. He's another person that kind of goes off. Judas Iscariot, he is the disciple who betrayed Jesus. And he was the treasurer of the group. I don't know if that's a coincidence that a really awful person. He's always mentioned last as a disciple. So what happened when Judas betrayed Jesus and he left the group and killed himself? Did they get a new disciple? They did. I didn't know this. And his name was Matthias. The 12th apostle was chosen by the remaining 11 disciples to replace the betrayer. I did not know that. You get a gold star. The scriptural recommendation was for 12 disciples, and so Peter declared that they must choose another to take the place of Judas Iscariot. Matthias was chosen as a 12th apostle since he was present with Jesus Christ during his time on earth as well as through the crucifixion. He was there for the crucifixion. While two men were chosen to take the 12th place in the apostles, lots were drawn to decide that it was Matthias. Okay, so let's talk about what some lessons learned from these apostles. From Peter, here's a lesson from Peter. We don't have 12 lessons because there's so much we don't know about some of these disciples. Peter, Christians falter, but when they return to Jesus, he forgives them and strengthens their faith. He denied Jesus 3 times. And who was the church? I will build this on this rock. Did anybody see the Roma Downey Jr. Story called AD? I mean, it was like a 10-week or an 8-week television series, which was so great. It was what happened after the crucifixion, and it got canceled, and it was such a great show. I loved it. It was talking about Peter and everybody, all the disciples, what they did afterwards. And if you get a chance to, I don't know, get it on Netflix, it was called Jesus Christ AD, and it was really good. But, you know, Peter was just always failing and stumbling, and yet he came back to Christ, and Christ, you know, forgives him, and his church was built on that. James, we said, was the first that was martyred. Christians must be willing to die for Jesus. I'm not willing to get up some days and just go to church in my car 3 miles down the road, let alone die. I don't know about that. John, he is one of the sons of thunder, and yet he became John the Beloved. When I heard that John was called one of the sons of thunder, I thought, no, the book of John is the love, you know, it's, oh my gosh, how could John be one of the sons of thunder? So the transforming power of love. I think we all have times in our lives where we have chosen to love somebody when we haven't wanted to and have found that love can transform relationships, because beating the crud out of somebody usually doesn't bring them back into relationship. Bartholomew, God uses our questions to teach us. God is okay with us asking questions. He's got really big shoulders, I've heard. And he can take our questions. God, I don't get this. I'm not getting this. And we can learn from that. Usually when we ask that question, God gives us a little wink to show us he's listening. Matthew, Christianity is not for people who think they're already good. It's for people who know they've failed and want help. Thomas, we're all doubting. We have our good days and we have our bad days. Thaddeus is the one that I think we said that he doesn't, we don't always see the forest for the trees. How often have you come through a really, really bad time, and in the middle of it, you're like, I can't see anything. All I see is that this is really awful. This is terrible, and I don't know if I'm going to get through this, and I don't know where you are in all of this. And then you come out this other side, and you look back, and you go, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, that's why I had to do that. Oh, yeah, I learned that, and then okay. So if we can be patient with ourselves. The lesson from Thaddeus is we follow Jesus because we believe in him, not because we always understand his plan. We don't maybe not know that. Andrew, Christians are here to tell other people about Jesus. What did Dietrich Bonhoeffer say? Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. May we all go into the world knowing that we are not unqualified. We are just as qualified as all of these disciples. And what is the saying is that God doesn't call those who are equipped. God equips those who are called. So as you go into January and put your armor on and everything, I hope we can take some lessons from these disciples. We are all qualified. Amen. Sorry, that was really long. I apologize for that. What happens next in your offering? Yes.